Father, this little journey on earth, this little sidetrack, so to speak, to test us and try us, to see whether we're focused, to see whether we're in you or we're in the world. And we're thankful for the test, Father, but we want to go home. We want to be with you. We want our place in the New Jerusalem to be with our families, O God, for all thy offspring shall be with them. And this is our great desire. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this morning, we're going to pick up where we left off on Wednesday night and begin our reading from Brother Branham's sermon, The Token, preached September 1st, from paragraph 157. I'd like you to say, Wednesday night we had a tremendous word from the Lord, and it really helped me a lot. I think it helped some of you that were here a lot as well. We're going to cover that just a little bit this morning, but we'll pick up where we left off, and that's 157, where Brother Brown said, "Now, they think it's crazy, but to us who believe and know the truth, we know that it is His living presence. For it does the same thing that He did when He was here on earth." It does. His presence does. All right? Amen. Oh, they say, well, they just imagine that they've seen the pillar of fire. Oh no, we don't just imagine anything. They thought Paul imagined it too. Egypt thought Israel imagined it, but it taken them to the promised land. Yes, sir. We don't, in Hebrews 13 and 8, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're putting that down, see that He's the same. They say it's just some imagination. Then I write here, this scripture here, I wrote down this morning. I know where the scriptures are, and that's how I go to it, see? Knowing it is His living presence, for He does the same in this spirit. Now, if he had done went off into some creed or denomination, we'd know right quick it wasn't Christ. Is that right? If I led you into some creed or something another, I'd be sent from some denomination, but I'm not bringing you creeds. And I'm not teaching you denomination. I'm teaching you the Word of God, which is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, manifested not only for me, but for whosoever will. You see? I hope that you see that he's not only referring to John 14:12 here, but he says it is not only for himself, but for whosoever will. But he's also referring to what the Apostle Paul taught us. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But the next one I want to bring in from the Word Became Flesh in India trip, where Brother Brown says, "And they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, then when human element goes out," in other words, everything about your flesh, "and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy where you empty yourself," amen, "then will be when the church, in its power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, will walk in His steps, in His power, in His thoughts, in His being, in His moving." You see what I mean? "Then your thoughts will become words, and words will become material." That's when the church in its power, and I believe it's on its road, that when the church will be so wrapped in Christ. That's the key right there. So wrapped in Christ with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, mankind so away from themselves that they don't see themselves. They don't have no thoughts but to serve God. And their thoughts move on. They refuse the things of the world. They just move in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, move in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, so fulfill the law of Christ. Then the love of Christ in the human heart, moving in the Holy Ghost, that great, wonderful church will go forth with power and deity, because deity will be revealed to human beings by the Holy Spirit, bringing to pass the thought of their mind. The problem is, your life worthy of the gospel? He says, but Paul, when the light struck him, let's compare his life and see whether it's worthy. Now what happened? When Paul, the light struck him, he forsook all of his knowledge and got away from his from that intellectual group. And he walked in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. But as smart as he was, he never even used big words. When he come from amongst them Corinthians, he said, I never come to you with the wisdom of men. I never come to you with swelling words, because you'd have put your faith in that. But I come to you in simplicity, in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that your faith would be in there. There's a life. Now watch it. He never used his education. He never walked with the intellectual bunch. He walked in the Spirit of Christ, humble, obedient to the Word of God, and when it was very much contrary to their creeds. But Paul saw the light and he walked in it. That's right. How many people talk about the presence of Jesus Christ and aren't walking in it? Letting the life of Christ reflect Jesus Christ in the age that he lived in, that the people might see the Spirit of God in him. And the humble believed it so much, till they even wanted to bring handkerchiefs in. They'd taken them off of his body, and they believed it so much, and he was such a representation of Jesus Christ, till whatever he touched, they believed was blessed. Yes, what a man that was. Give his life, his riches, his everything he had, his education, forgot all, to walk down with fishermen and beggars and bums on the street, to let his lights reflect the love of Jesus Christ. And he said, I've been stripped across the back 49 times. Don't bother me, because I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. The poor little fellow in such a terrible condition, he said, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. What a difference from this great dignitary with the priests all around him. And from, is your life worthy of the gospel? He said, and remember, he still wanted to hold his profession in hell. He's talking about the other now. He's talking about the rich young ruler who didn't forsake all. He seen Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here. He's still calling him his father. See? He took his knowledge and went to an intellectual church, and when the light struck him, he turned it down. If that isn't the modern trend of the church today, I don't know what it is. No matter what God flashes across their path, the pillar of fire or whatever it might be, they still, with their knowledge, they can explain it away and go to the intellectual group for the social standing. But Paul was already in a social standing with great knowledge, a great scholar under Gamaliel, a right hand of the high priest, in so much, till he went to the priest and got orders to put all of them holy rollers in jail. But when the light struck his path, and he seen that same pillar of fire that led Israel through the wilderness, it was Jesus Christ. He forsook all that he knew, and he come to life. Brother Graham's talking about the power of the Word. So many people hear it here, and it goes right off their back like water off a duck. But when it goes into here and it comes down to here, it transforms your life. Now you've entered into the power of the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus. From a certain sound, he said, now let the God that be God speak like God. And let the God that answers by fire be God. Let the God tonight, and if your system is better than the Word, then let them speak and heal the sick and discern the thoughts and do what God said he would do. Amen. If your denominational system is better than the Word of God, then let them speak. Let's see them raise up a church in their Roman dogmas and so forth and produce something like Jesus Christ. Let's see them with the dogmas make the Word live again. They bypass the Word by their dogmas, their creeds today, because they're afraid to meet the issue. And they bypass it and base the people upon intellectual education instead of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the manifestation of his being. Amen. Nothing uncertain about that. Try it. Certainly, it's the truth.
Yes, sir.
What are we showing? It's not only the Word. It's the power of the life. And it's the power of that Word. If you have a seed and that seed lays dormant, there's no power there. But let that light, let the light strike the seed, and the light that's in the seed is released. And the releasing of that light is a power. It breaks through the egg. It breaks through the shell. It breaks through the, you know, the mesoderm, the inner derm, whatever derm it is. The power coming to the light. So when the light truly strikes you, nothing can hold you back from the light. Because the light releases the power, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit in you. Well, the rest is from convinced and concerned. Oh, the people believe, of course, that they believe those things. But there, as my old southern mother used to tell me, your actions speak louder than your words. That's right. When we see that people turn down the gospel, how can you say that you believe the gospel and you turn down the very thing that you say you believe? It just doesn't work. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. That's it. Now, we don't want to feed them educational programs, and we don't want to feed them denominational weeds, but sheep eat sheep food. And that's what it takes to make a sheep fat, is sheep food. That's exactly right. And sheep food is a gospel of preaching of the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing Him in person to the people. He's not dead, He's alive, and alive forevermore. He's here tonight, and that's the gospel. And from who is this? He said, God, if they could only realize that that power that they long for is the power of the resurrection of the Son of God. The power of the Holy Ghost to change their lives. Not to blow up nations, but change their lives and make them your servants. And again, from ever present. And when we die, our souls will go under the altar of God, where I was privileged to see a few mornings ago, as you know, in the vision, where the Bible speaks of, our spirit will go to God who give it, and our bodies shall return to the dust of the earth. But someday, when the scripture is fulfilled, our spirit will be released from God, will pick up the soul, and the soul to the body. And the power that will raise us up is right in us now. We are now in heavenly places. We are now in the power of the resurrection. If there wasn't a law to that, sons and daughters of God would create them a world out here and go live a private life on it. You have the power in you to do it. If you've got a shadow of the power of God in you, you've got power to do it. God is omnipotent. See what I mean? The power that's in you will make, and you could speak a world into existence and go live on it. Hallelujah. There you are. That's what power is in the church now, but it is controlled by a law. And that law is not keeping a bunch of commandments. And that's, again, what we spoke on Wednesday night. All the things of the church, all the churchianity, all the laying on of hands, all the baptisms, all the formulas, all the conduct, all the order, all the doctrine that goes along with the church. Believing all this, Paul says, leaving all this behind. Because there is no perfection in those things. There's no perfection in doctrine. I'm sorry, you could have your doctrine perfect. There's no perfection in it. There's no perfection in order, church order, or any order. There's no perfection in the living. There's no perfection in the things that you do. There's no perfection in having everything in church just exactly according to the way that the prophet wanted. There's no perfection in any of it. Brother Graham said that to us Wednesday night. The only perfection is in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you can have all those other things and you're still only have dead works. That's exactly what he said. And that's what Paul said, laying aside all the dead works, let's go on to perfection. Let's go on to the perfect one, and that is Christ. Let's not just go on to Christ, but let's go into Christ. And become one with Him and live by the same power of His resurrection, living our lives as He would live them for us. If you would just study what was brought out Wednesday night, you know what I'm talking about. It's going to take a burden off your back. It's going to take a heavy weight from your shoulders. Brother Brandon, reading what Paul said in Hebrews 6, all those doctrines of laying on of hands and baptism and forgiveness of sin and all,
He even said, laying aside the doctrine, the principles of the doctrine of Christ.
Now, Brother Branson, we believe all those things. We believe the laying on of hands. We believe in resurrection of the dead. We believe in laying on of hands. We believe in baptisms. And we believe in Brother Branson. But I don't care if he said what it is. He said, believe in the doctrine of Christ. But he said, that doesn't bring you perfection. The perfection is in Christ himself. And if Christ is not in you, who is the hope of glory? Then all you've got is church. All you've got is dead works. All you've got is a form.
It all is in Christ. We believe those things, but they're only dead works and won't produce perfection in us. But once we die to self and come into Christ, then the perfection begins right there. We need all those things to help us to get us pointed in the right direction. But once you've found Christ, everything else becomes a blur. But Brother Brown continues, it's a law of faith. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours. Every place the sole of your foot can set upon by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. It's yours. You possess it. If you can find the key to this law of faith that opens it up to you, you see what I mean? That power is controlled by it. And if you're a son of God or a daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you all the time, but your faith gets away from it, but it's still there. Hallelujah. Now listen, Moses spoke those very same words to the people of God as they were getting ready to cross over Jordan. In Deuteronomy 11:24, it said, you are about to cross over to the promised land. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. And then he goes to name all the territories. From Lebanon to this, to that, to this. And so with each step, the promise became a reality. And a possession of the people of God. And today it is for your taking, if you want it, and are willing to step into it. Now from the message expectation, Brother Brown said, but here was the commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now what is the gospel? Listen, not just the word only. That's what Brother Brown said. Don't go into all the world and teach the gospel. He said, preach it. Paul said, but the manifestation of the word. Notice, not just the word only, but Paul said, but the manifestation of the word. The gospel came to us not in word only, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. In other words, go into all the world and demonstrate the power of the resurrection. These signs shall follow them that believe. Just teaching the word won't do it. You've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost behind that word to make it come to life again. Amen. It'll come to life. Now listen, you can't produce that, but he can. Every time I've been overseas, and God has done some great supernatural, wonderful thing. I never knew it was coming. He did it. Why? To back up that word, to show it's not only with word only, it's not only teaching, but it's a manifestation of the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to show that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Brother Bram said in his sermon, 70 Weeks of Daniel, he said it's laying back in that condition, and that only shows that this is just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have those things out of cater. He's just letting it run like that for a little time. And I truly believe that that thing was done, and that this last days is when God is going to reveal these secret things to the church. He hasn't done it before, and the reason he hasn't done it is to keep the church watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it was coming. But you remember in Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in the last days. It's been given to him. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. What have you got pictures about? The spirit of wisdom and revelation coming down. Bringing down a shout. He comes with a shout. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. How's that? One angel to one prophet. He says, so the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great deep secret things. Do you understand that? And so we see Paul tell us the same thing in Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And so people get that, they see that, and they say, oh, great, now we've got the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that's it. It becomes intellectual. It becomes a movement. It becomes well, he's here. He's here. Hallelujah, he's here. And there's no power. There's no power. Where's the power? Because unless you have the mechanics and the dynamics, you have nothing. He says that, notice, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, it comes so that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. That's when he stopped. But that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Why did they stop after being enlightened of his presence when it's to take us into adoption? He says, the inheritance of the saints. And then it says, and what is the exceeding, after understanding of that inheritance, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now look, people don't read this right. They read it and they stop with Paul telling us that God will send the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. But Paul didn't stop there, so why do we? The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him is not only that God comes down with a shout, but opens the eyes of our understanding that we may be enlightened, but he also continued that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It brings you right to adoption. And yet when we begin to preach and turn the corner and start preaching on adoption, everybody's, oh, he's wrong. He's gone off. No, I'm just following what Paul said. So this adoption talk here, and not only are we to have our eyes open to the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, but we will also come to the place where we are adoption ready. And not only that, but Paul tells us, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. His working of his mighty power where? To usward. In other words, the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost living in you, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He's talking about resurrection power. So he's talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him will bring with it not only adoption, knowledge, and understanding, but the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus with it. And Hebrews 7:16 says, who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. It's got to be in you. So we see there must come a power into the church that the bride to not only point us to the way, but to give us the power of an endless life, a resurrected life. And Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. You see, we don't stop with the spirit of wisdom and revelation to enlighten your eyes of your understanding. We come full boat into all the promise. For show us the Father. If the people would have just, Moses said, every step you take will be yours. And they said, oh, I'm satisfied. I'll just get in the river. I won't cross over. You wouldn't have it. They had to literally take their foot and place it everywhere they wanted. And so do you. You want your family? Step into it, brother. And show us the Father. The thing to do is to know that you're coming to fulfill a promise that God made you. Now listen. Remember we talked about, Brother Brad said, I had to do exactly everything that was in the vision. He said the hat had to be on the chair, the man had to be sitting in that chair, the woman had to be sitting in this chair. He said all day long, I got there early in the morning, and for 12 hours, people were moving back and forth. So finally the man came in, but he had his hat on. He sat there with his hat on. The woman was sitting in the chair. The man was sitting in the chair, but the hat wasn't on the chair between them. The man had his hat on. He said, then she got up, went over and did something, and then she came back and sat down. Every time it began to move different, I just had to wait. I have to wait. Finally the man put his hat on the chair. He was sitting in the right chair. She was sitting in the right chair. He jumped to his feet because he didn't want to let anything change. He jumped to his feet, went over and said, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. And the vision was complete. He had stepped into the vision at that point. You see? Now, he said, this Bible is God's book of visions. brother, there's visions in here for you. Like the vision that says that you shall be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Like the vision that says you will be a manifested son before the resurrection time. Like the vision that says that we are to receive the spirit of adoption. And there's going to be an adoption. There's going to be a change of the body. All those are visions. And there's many, many hundreds, even thousands of visions in here on your daily walk. And when things come up, and when the scene, you see the scene in the Bible, and you see the scene out here in front of you. And you see the same need that was in the Bible. You see that same need within that scene. Then that's for you to step into and claim that piece of territory. Claim that vision here for you here. In other words, that which is written becomes manifested because you are a written epistle known and read of all men. Hallelujah. He said, the thing to do is to know that you're coming to fulfill a promise that God made. And then he said, you have done something that God give you, a promise, what would happen, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You go right out of this building testifying that you're saved. What if you go out of this building saying that, well, I don't know. Then you're not saved. But God will make your body obey your confession. See? And he's the high priest of our confession. Before you can be healed, you have to confess it first. You have to believe that you are healed. And then when you believe that you're healed, God makes your body obey your confession. So now when you come by here, let's just let it be settled. Say, God, this is your command. I believe I'm healed. Walk off the platform and say, now listen, I want you to catch this. If you're not believing and preaching that we are living in the day that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, then that promise is not for you. You won't be part of it. Like one guy said, well, I don't believe in the tent. But he said, but if it happens, I'll be there. No, you won't. I'm sorry, you won't be there because you know what? You don't believe it. When you truly believe these promises of God, you eat them, you live them, you walk with them, you talk about them. They become everything to you. And if you don't believe them, you just say, well, they're a bunch of fanatics that are going off after adoption, they're going off after manifestation of the sons of God, they're going off after these things. Listen, I believe those promises. I've stepped into them. I've seen the reality of the living God doing supernatural things that no other minister that I know that's living right now has as many things that have taken place as I've seen in my own ministry. And why is that? Not because I'm special. Because maybe I'm just simple enough, humble enough to believe the Word of God. It doesn't take a super duper preacher to do that. It takes someone who's simple enough to trust God. Like I said, when the Holy Spirit said, go take charge of the meeting. And the devil kept on my back saying, oh, if you do, you're going to make a fool of yourself. I was simple enough to say, well, I'd rather be a fool for Christ than man's fool. And you know what? God honors that. And he'll honor that for you too. Listen, I've seen a 3-year-old girl pray for a 4-year-old, or a 4-year-old girl pray for a 3-year-old girl that had a very high temperature. And you know what? Because of her sincerity, and she believed all she had to do was lay her hands on that child, that child would be saved, be healed. And you know what? God healed that child. So don't tell me it takes some great big thing. Contrary, why did God take a man like William Branham with a 7th grade education to magnify himself through? I just hope and pray and trust that maybe, like Paul said, he's died to everything. I hope and trust that I've died to everything. Paul died to his education. He died to his position in the church. He died at all. He said, I don't care. All I want is to magnify Christ in my body. But God will make your body obey your confession. And he's the high priest of our confession. And as he says, before you can be healed, you have to confess it first. You have to believe that you're healed. And then when you believe you're healed, God makes your body obey your confession. Listen. You believe the scripture says there's going to be sons of God that are manifested as sons of God? Okay. God will make your confession. He'll make your body obey your confession. Hallelujah. That's a start right there. Amen? Now listen. Let me say this. When you come to the place where you will submit your will to God's will, then when you step into it, first by your confession, that's your first step, and then by your profession, that's your living, your doing, then God is obligated to do for you what he promised to do if you will just act upon His will. William Branham saw Malachi 4. He saw Revelation 10. He saw, now listen, Revelation 10, 7, there's two angels, the one that came down from heaven and the seventh angel. He saw himself as the seventh angel, but it took God to come down to fulfill that scripture. But William Branham had to stand there first. He had to step out into that first. He had to step into Malachi 4 first. He saw in his life, he was kind of a man of the wild. He kind of hated women, not sisters, but just the vulgarity of the way women were dressing and everything else. He saw a lot of Elijah in himself. He stepped into that, and God stepped into him. You understand? From attitude, who is God? And when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, God will make your body come into your confession. If you say that you're a drunkard and want to drink, don't worry, you'll soon be one. If you say that you're a sinner and want to sin, you'll be right into it. If you say that you're a Christian and believe it all along, God will bring, your testimony will bring you right into it. If you believe in healing and believe that God has healed you, confess it and God will make your body obey your confession. For He's the high priest of your confession, setting the right hand of the Father now with His own blood to make intercession for any confession upon anything that He died for. And He died to rid sin. And sickness is the result of sin. He was wounded for our transgression. With His stripes we are healed. Remember that. Have faith and don't waver and stand on it. You believe you're going to be one of those that will be in the resurrection ministry? Profess it. Confess it first. Well, they might brand me as a return ministry. I don't care what they brand you as. Confess that you're going to be part of not only the shout, which you're part of now, but you're going to be part of the voice. You'll be there. You start confessing it, and then profess it with your life. Start living for it, getting ready for it. Hallelujah. You believe that your family, according to Isaiah, all their offspring with them. You believe that? You start confessing it. You talk to those children. Every morning, you wake up. You go in. You kiss them on the cheek. You look them in the eye. You tell them, I love you with all my heart. And this life that we're living now is just a little journey. It's a sidetrack. It's just a time of testing. But one day, we're going to live in the New Jerusalem. You talk about a glorious place to be living. The waters of the river of life flowing freely down to that city. The cleanness, no pollution, no sickness, no death, no sorrow, nothing. They say, well, that'll be in the new world. No, the Bible says that the tree of life, the leaves are for the healing of the nations. But for you, the immortal sons and daughters of God, not capable of dying any longer, because your body's been glorified. It's for you and your offspring. Don't just say, well, I love you. Look in the eye, because the eye is a portal to your soul. I love you. Play those tapes. Let them listen all night long to that voice of God, that they might enter into that voice. And you'll find something happen in your children. They want to be part of this great, wonderful, exciting traverse through this world to the world beyond. Your testimony will bring you right into it. If you believe in healing and believe that God has healed you, confess it and God will make your body obey your confession. He's the great high priest of your confession. Setting at the right hand of the Father now with His own blood. See, He had to step into it Himself. With His own blood to make intercession for any confession upon anything that He died for. And He died to rid sin, and sickness is a result of sin. He was wounded for our transgression, by His stripes we are healed. Remember that. Have faith and don't waver. Just stand on it. We must never forget that whatever God promises, God also sends His power to those who step into His will so that you can do. With Jesus, He showed Jesus in a vision the doing, which was His will. Go walk past 300 people at the pool of Bethesda and go over to where there will be a man sitting on a cot waiting for the troubling of the water. So Jesus had, all He had to do was to step into the vision, walk to where the man was sitting on the cot, and then pronounce the healing as was foreseen in the vision. And the vision was God showing him His will. And He said, the Father worketh and the Son worketh hitherto. Or likewise. All right. Well, then if the Father works and the Son works, what He has seen the Father do, then what's the difference if Jesus works and the works that He did, we will do also? Huh? Those people fighting John 14:12 is not for them. I'm sorry. It's one of the great blessings to the bride of Jesus Christ, but it's not for them. They've applied it to somewhere else, but not to themselves. Now, it's the same principle, right? If Jesus saw the Father do and then Jesus did what the Father did, then if we see what Jesus did and we do the same thing, won't God give you the power to do the same thing? God didn't show Jesus a vision to go step past 300 people and go raise up a man on a cot, and then Jesus gets there and the power's not there. What kind of a God would He be? What kind of a God is He if He tells you to go do what He did, and then you go do what He did and He doesn't do it? He doesn't manifest it. What kind of a God would that be? People don't understand the power of the Word. It's not just the Word, brother. It's not just doctrine, it's the power that goes with the Word. And the power is God Himself. Then we must learn to look for the will of God and wait until we are sure it is the will of God and then step into the vision and do what He did. That's just how simple John 14:12 is. And you know what that fulfills? It also fulfills Romans 8:29. You become conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. How do I become conformed? By doing what He did. Amen? That's also Romans 8:19. Manifesting of a Son of God. How do I manifest the Son of God? By manifesting what He manifested. The works that I do shall you do also. I step into that. And now I'm not only manifesting, but I'm conforming to Him. To His image. That's why Paul, you see how simple this is? It's just, it's not rocket science, brother, sister. It's just the simplicity of believing the Bible. Believing God's Word. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. Talked to one preacher, you know, this is years ago, and he said, well, I don't preach on a doctrine because he said too many flakes are off there preaching on a doctrine, and then people are just, you know, trying to press themselves into something. I said, brother, I said, why would you let a scarecrow keep you away from the truth? I said, all the more reason to be preaching the truth so that the people get it right. Not just talking about it, but stepping into it and allowing your body to obey your confession. The Father works and you work. It's just that simple. That's what Paul meant by it is God working in you. Both to will and then to do. He is working in you to get you to recognize His will. And then when you do recognize His will, He is there to help you to step into that will and then to do it. Oh, I love it. God is working in you to will and to do. The will is a seeing as God sees. Like Brother Brown said, faith sees what God sees. Yeah, I see that right in my Bible. Okay, now do. That's His will. How many believe that God's Word is His will? Amen? All right. So He's working in you to get you to this so that you step into that. So that you see, this is His will. God working in you both to will and then to step into it, to do. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It's not just words anymore, it's Him. It's His power in us. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice, even Jesus tells us that knowing the Word of God alone is not where we are to come. But knowing the Word of God, the will of God, and also the power of God that goes with it, the doing of His will, so to speak. Now look at the admonition of the Son of God. Mark 12:24, and Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Oh, they might have known the text. They might have been able to quote the Bible, quote Moses. But they didn't know it because they didn't know the power that was there. And again, in Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. And a conjunction, and the power of his resurrection. I can't know him without knowing the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He said, how can you really come to an understanding of the Son of God without understanding how he walked in the power of God? In Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Notice, not just declared to be the Son of God, but declared to be the Son of God with power. Not just the Son of God seeth whatsoever the Father doeth. That's not the full picture of the Son with power. But he saith, the Son doeth likewise, or the Son doeth in the same manner as he saw the Father doing. That is the same way the Son doeth. That's the Son of God with power. And this is the condemnation that God ordained the true fivefold ministry to get the people to come. I mean, this is the condition that God ordained the true fivefold ministry to get the people to come to, is to step into it. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, plural, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And since Paul told us in verse 5 that there's only one faith and one Lord, then this is the unity that that only the revelation of Jesus Christ properly brought out can bring. And then he says, and the knowledge of the Son of God, which is not just having a knowledge as though we have an intellectual conception, because Paul speaks of the power of Christ declared to be the Son of God with power. Notice that combining the mechanics, knowing the will, that's this word, with the dynamics or the power to do, it takes us unto perfection. This is the very next word. In other words, a mature man, a fully finished off man, furnished off unto the measure of the stature or the character of the fulfilling of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him, not unto him, into him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, can you imagine if the bride of Jesus Christ were about the size of this bottle, and Jesus' head is about the size of my head? That wouldn't be growing up into him, would it? We've got to grow to the place where the body fits the head. And when the head says move, the body says move. Then we can see the proper light when Paul meant by the words Philippians 2:13, for it is God. It is God. As Brother Bell drew all these things on the picture, a big circle and all his attributes and everything else, and raised everything else, and he just said one thing, God. Get your eyes on him. Get your eyes off any vessel, get your eyes on God. For it is God which worketh in you. Now, the word you could be applied, Brother Bram could apply that word you to himself. That's true, he could. And so can you. Because the word you doesn't mean just one person. It means whoever it's directed to. And it is God which worketh in you both to will, that's knowing what to do, knowing the Bible, and to do, that's the power to do of his good pleasure. In other words, once you know the will of God and you step into the will, now God is God working in you to bring the power to do. For what good would it be to know the will of God without the power to do it? So God comes in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of himself, and this not only opens to us the eyes of our understanding, but it shows us how to use the power that is in that understanding. In other words, the word is a seed and thus a light. And thus it is full of power. And as Paul says, not only does it open our eyes, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance are in the saints. In other words, not only does it open the eyes of our understanding to God's will, but he adds, it also teaches us what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So we're looking at will and power to do. Will and power to do. Notice in his sermon, the spoken words of the original seed, Brother Branham said, now notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father or the Father showed him first. Now why? Because the Father showing him was his learning what the will of God was. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. Now God came down with a shout, not William Branham. He showed William Branham, we stepped into it, and we saw God. You step into it, people are going to see God. As I said 2 weeks ago, I hope people didn't misunderstand what I was saying. But the expression of God through the vessel is what when people see God. When God came down in a pillar of cloud, when God came down in the pillar of fire, they saw Christ. The Bible says the rock that followed the children of Israel, that rock was Christ. Now the rock wasn't Jesus, the rock was a rock. But they saw the anointing upon that rock to split itself and bring water to feed not only 2 million people, but all their sheep and goats and cattle and everything else. That had to be a river, almost like the Ohio River, to do that. Certainly it had to be a greater river than the Little Miami River. To water 2 million people, cattle, sheep, everything else, you're talking about probably, I'd imagine there had to be at least, hundreds of thousands of cattle and sheep and everything else. You know that horses and whatever, I mean, they drink a lot of water. A little trickle won't do it. That rock, what they saw was Christ, the anointing. They saw God. As Brother Bell said, get your eyes off the vessel, but get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. When William Branham stood there and he prayed for that little girl and those eyeballs that came, and those that the sweet light, beams of light came down into her eyes, and now all of a sudden she had eyeballs. What you saw was God standing before groups of men, declaring himself as ever he did. You saw God. Now the vessel wasn't God no more than the body of Jesus was deity. But deity dwelt in the body. And the body was only a reflector then of the deity. That's what Brother Brown's talking about us. What harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father or showed the Father. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her and she receives it. Now catch this. He says, he shows her his word of life. Now God's word is his will. So just as the original seed did, he had to catch the will of God in a vision first, and then he stepped into that vision and he did what he caught by revelation. Harmony between God and Christ, see, John 5:19, so will the bride, and he shows her his word of life, and he shows her, and she receives it. She doesn't, well, that was only for William Branham. She receives it. And she never doubts it. She never doubts what? His will. That's what. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah. Here is a secret. The word is in the bride. And the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. Amen. Notice she knows his will. Now, let me read that again. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with his word. See, that's his will. She knows his will. She knows what his will is for her to do with his word. Now remember, it's God working in us, both the will, see, we've got the will first, and it's not our will, but his will, that he is in us, working in us his will. It's God working in us, both the will and then to do. So God works in us first to get us to recognize his will, and then once he recognizes, well, we recognize his will, we step into it. And then we do it. And then he performs it. And he guarantees the outcome because it is a stepping into his will to do his will. Now let me explain it this way. Sometimes people thought William Branham was a Trinitarian. He said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I've heard him say that. He said, well, how can that be? Because God had to show Jesus how to act like a son. And when God in the vision was acting out Son of God, Jesus stepped into the vision and became Son of God. You understand? Is that clear? Anybody still have a problem with that? That's how God was God the Son. Because God acted out a role. Remember Brother Brown said, role of Father, role of Son, role of Holy Ghost. Now the role of Holy Ghost is God in you. He's showing you how to be sons. Hallelujah. All right. So God works in us first to get us to recognize His will, and then once we recognize His will, we step into it and do it. And He guarantees the outcome because it is the stepping into His will to do His will. That's what He means when He said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until He seen the Father or the Father showed Him first. Why? Because the Father showing Him was His learning what the will of God was. Harmony between God and Christ. See, John 5:19. So will the bride, and He shows her His will, His word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. And she does it in His name. How is this possible? Because she has thus saith the Lord. God has told her what to do, and she recognizes it is God's word. It is thus saith the Lord. So all she has to do is to recognize what is thus saith the Lord, and what is not thus saith the Lord. And once you recognize what is God's word, then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves His purpose. They do only His will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is Himself in them. It is God working in them to recognize His will and then to do. Continuing His word to fulfill as He did complete in His day. All things when He was here, He did not complete all things when He was here, for it was not yet time. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Now watch. Watch close. This is going to have a spiritual background. Now, let us stand like Joshua and Caleb as we see the promised land coming in sight. It's nearing time to be given. Joshua in Hebrew means Savior and represents the promised end time leader to take the church over. Caleb represents the true believer who stayed with Joshua. God started Israel as a virgin with His word, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. Now, people want to say, well, okay, Joshua then is Brother Brown. No, it's not. Brother Brown was Moses. Joshua is the Holy Ghost, the end time leader that is to take us over. And Caleb represents the true believer who stayed with the Holy Ghost, with Joshua. Now notice how God did not move Israel until His own appointed time. Now here's this important. Now listen, this is going to mean something. Joshua waited for that time. No matter how much people might have said, well, God gave us the land, the promise, let us go now and take it. They might have said, Joshua, you lost your commission. You're all washed up. Why are you not doing something? You used to know, thus saith the Lord, in a moment, and what was the will of God. But this wise God-sent prophet knew the promise of God, but also knew to wait for that promise.
Amen.
In other words, you got all the visions right here. But that don't mean you can go create the situation. You can't go create the scene. But when the scene opens up before you, and you recognize that it's but in that vision, like Brother Brown standing over in Finland, in Finland. Brother, get the fly leaf from your Bible. Brother, get the fly leaf from your Bible. Doesn't it say that the young boy, dark eyes, this and that, this and that, this and that? Here's the vision. The vision is now before us. I can lay my hands on him with assurance that the boy will raise from the dead because the vision, we're now standing. See, Brother Brown didn't go out and just place hands on anybody. Or go run somebody over so that he could lay his hands on somebody. He had to wait for the vision. We've got it here, every bit of it, right here, brother, sister. Now, when it opens up, that scene opens before you, and that need is there, and you recognize that to be in the vision, the book of visions. Step into it, it's yours. And when you do, what happens? You become a manifested son or daughter of God. You become, by doing that, stepping into the vision, you become conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. It's not pressing into anything. It's just being so in tune with the Holy Spirit that when He opens the scene, you recognize it. Because it's Him in you, getting you to will, getting you to recognize His will. Then it'll be Him in you performing. Amen. Joshua waited for that time. No matter how much people pressed him, when he said, God give us the land promise, let's go now and take it. They might have said, Joshua, you lost your commission. You're all washed up. Why are you not doing something? You used to know, thus saith the Lord, in the moment, what the will of God was. But this wise God sent prophet knew the promise of God, but also knew to wait for that promise. A clear-cut decision from God for his time. These parables now watch. And when the time come, God gave it to Joshua, who had stayed with him by the word, for he could not trust others. He could trust him. So will it repeat. And Brother Bram showed us how that we are to wait until we see the entire picture lined up. Then we are to step into the vision to perform that which God obtained for us to perform. Remember, he told us how the hat had to be on the chair, and so he waited all day long for the musical chairs to end, and the woman was in her place, and the man was in his place, and the hat was on the chair. Then he could step forward and pronounce the will of God, thus saith the Lord, you are healed. Why did Brother Brown tell us that story? Huh? To show off? No, he wasn't showing off. He was telling us how God works. And he told us how God works so that we would understand in our own life how God works. It's got to all line up. The scene has got to come before you. So we see, just as God was in the early church with his Alpha ministry, so he must be in the same with his end time bride as well. And we read in Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them. Paragraph 159. That you are my brother. I'm not a great person, and you a little person. We're all little persons in God. You believe it? We're all his little children. We know nothing what we really ought to know. He lets us know his will, and we are thankful for him for what we do, for what we do know of his will. In other words, he doesn't give you all the whole platter at one time. He doesn't take the whole prime rib and put it on your plate. He cuts you a piece. When you've eaten that piece, he cuts you another piece. And I don't share this by myself. I want to share it with you. See, I want you into it. I want you into it. I just caught that now. I didn't even highlight it. And I want you into it. And I want you to receive this token. And if you haven't done it, many of you, most of you have already done it, but if some of you haven't done it, see, I'm talking on tape too. You must understand that. And many of you, I don't say here in the church, we're all come out, suppose, but there may be thousands times thousands that'll hear the tape, you see. And it's a ministry. There be somebody to slip into Jericho, you know, with a tape. So we want to catch that predestinated seed when it goes in there, see, because the wrath is coming. You see, God is here working in us to will and to do. So it is his presence that does it. You know, we have a lot of people saying, well, he's here, he's here, he's here. Yet their life and the way they conduct their life shows they don't believe their own confession. And we hear Brother Bram say in paragraph 160, know that it is the presence of the living God. Proves that God has raised him up according to his promised word. A little while the world won't see me no more. Jericho, Egypt. They won't see me no more. But you shall see me, for I, the personal pronoun, is always referred to, see. I'll be with you. I am the token. My resurrection is the token, and the works that I do will identify you, will identify me in you. There's your resurrected power. It's in you. Oh my, I'm going to say this for Wednesday night. The works that I do will identify you. It will identify me in you. Yeah. I think we'll have to save that for perhaps Wednesday night. All right. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the evening message come forth, for it shall be light about the evening time. Just about the evening time, the light will come. Oh, glory to God. It makes me feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall, see? It shall be light about the evening time. That's right. The prophet said so. Now I'll be with you. I'll be in the Lutheran age. I'll be in the Wesleyan age. I'll be in the Pentecostal age. But right at the evening time, it'll come light. The denominationals will fade away, and then the token will be applied. And when we hear it, and when we recognize it, then we step into the will of God, and we do it. For it is God working in us both to will first and then to do. That's the vision. Then your willing and doing is a fulfillment of the vision. It's your stepping into the vision. Now here's the secret. The word is in the bride, and the mind of Christ can know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, because you're unraveling this great mystery of Christ to us. The great mystery of Christ revealed. Showing us your token and how that it is applied in our life. And how we see your word, your will, and then we do. We step into it. Help us, O God, to become the manifested sons and daughters of God. Help us to become conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Help us to become the very Messiahs that are to reflect you, your power, your life in this lost and dying age that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I believe one day your life here will be such a reflection of what your life is on that other side. The shadow and the positive will come so much that it will just draw together and you'll step into that glorified condition. It's coming. We're getting closer. I've seen that song in closing. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Surely the presence of the Lord.